If you would turn to Proverbs 12:23 as we continue our study of this chapter in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 12:23. Proverbs 12:23 reads this way: "A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness." So again, we have a comparison between two men, two individuals, a prudent man and a man that is called a fool. Now, God's word, as you know, as he's given us it in written form, is contained in 66 books with a beginning of Genesis and an ending of Revelation. And in the last chapter of the last book, God warns of additions and subtractions to this book. And with this warning, we then know that he has spoken all, and he now chooses to be silent. God speaks and he doesn't speak. God has in his word completed his message to us from A to Z, from creation to eternity. And at this time, the time that we live in, this age of grace, he has nothing more to say to us. So we see then for 2,000 years, God has been silent. Now there will be people that will argue about this, but according to the scriptures, God has been silent. And he's left us to absorb his written word. You know, what a word it is that we can't even absorb it in 2,000 years. We're still studying, trying to get the meaning of the scriptures, trying to get the scriptures into our hearts. But he's left us to absorb his written word, for all we need to know as Christians has already been given us. So there are times when God speaks, and there are times when God is silent. There are times when God reveals knowledge, and there are times when God conceals or withholds knowledge. Now, God imparted his nature to us when he created us in his image, and because we are to be like father, like son. You've heard that saying, like father, like son, as people look at a small boy and they see in that son attributes of the father. How little boys like to mimic their father and what their father does. But we are to be like father, like son. So he expects us at times to be revealers of knowledge and at times to be concealers or withholders of knowledge. Now, that is his nature. And he expects that to also be part of the nature of his children. For God intends for his children to be disciplined in their speech. And it's almost as if he expects us to use words as if what was said would come about simply because it was said. Now, that's a high standard, isn't it? To use words as if what was said would come about. So how would your speech be governed or altered if you had this power? As God has this power, for when he spoke, the worlds obeyed and came into existence. If you had this power, would you make statements so casually if what you said automatically came about? My, that's quite a discipline, isn't it? To think that if you said something, it would come about, how would that alter your speech? So we, being made in God's image, are to think this way and to govern our words, for words have power. My, how words have power. All the wars of the ages have been begun because of words. All of the violence that have been done has become because of words. For words have power and can be used for good or can be used for evil. Words, as shown by God's word, are designed to bring things about. God told us this in the beginning, for he spoke the worlds into existence. For when God speaks, what he says comes about. You know, if God were careless in his speaking, the universe would not sustain. The planets would run amok. The planets listen for God's word. What's my orders today? And no word comes, so he continues in his orbit. The stars continue to burn. The sun continues to shine, for no word of change comes from the Creator. But God has been silent since the revelation of Jesus Christ was given to John around 90 AD, and we know that God is silent most of the time. When he speaks, great events come into being. And his word is so powerful, he speaks only when needed. Now, the message to us is that we are also to be silent most of the time. As the Apostle James instructed, we are to be swift to hear. What's our first priority? Swift to hear, but slow to speak. That doesn't mean you speak hello. That means to be careful about speaking. That means to discipline your speech. In Psalm 141:3, David asks God, and David must have known he had the propensity to talk. But he asked the Lord to set a watch, O Lord, set a patrolling soldier with a rifle walking past my mouth, keeping it from opening, for he said, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. That was David's prayer. So God's word pictures a door that opens and closes our mouth, thereby regulating our speech. Now, you may choose who opens and closes the door. The doorkeeper of the door can be the Lord. That's what David chose. He asked the Lord to be the doorkeeper of my mouth. So you may choose the opening of the door to be in keeping with the word of God, or you may not. You have that choice. If it is regulated by the word of God, it opens at the right time and it closes at the right time. If it is regulated by the word of God, most likely it is more closed than open. Being guarded by the Lord causes a good man out of the good treasure of the heart to bring forth good things. Ladies, how often do you use your silver? Oh, I use it for special occasions because it's a treasure. I don't use it for everyday meals. The children rarely see this silver. It's a treasure. I bring it out. And the Lord calls the treasure of the heart those words that ought to be brought forth at the right time. Now, being guarded by the Lord causes a good man out of the treasure of his heart to not bring forth evil things. The Bible calls, and specifically Proverbs, words fitly spoken, he calls them precious treasures. Have you ever been counseled by someone and you went from that counseling chewing on those words as if they were gourmet food? Words fitly spoken are precious treasures, and like all treasures, are to be used judiciously and carefully, and they are not to be wasted. Proverbs 15:23 says, "A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it?" You see what words are to be used for. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven." And in Ecclesiastes 3:7, we are told, "There is a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak." Notice the order of that, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Now, so a prudent man knows the time because he knows the Lord and he knows the Word of God. Ecclesiastes 8, 5, and 6 tells us, "A wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment, because to every purpose there is a time and judgment." You know, timing is so important in your speech. There are times when you ought to request things. There are times when you ought to tell things, command things. But timing is so important. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. There's a time to speak and a time not to speak. And judgment must be used at all times. So a prudent man knows when to proclaim knowledge and when not to proclaim knowledge. You'd think that we're to proclaim knowledge all the time. But God cautions us on the proclamation of knowledge by using timing and judgment. But a prudent man will make his knowledge known when he knows it will be helpful, when he knows it will edify. A prudent man knows what his duty is, but he also knows the when and where and who of speaking. He knows the proper manner in which to accomplish the task, and he considers the consequences of his words. Do we consider the consequences of our words? You know, there's so many unintended consequences to everything, is there not? Are we careful to consider where our words will lead? That's the mark of a prudent man. Now, a prudent man will not use his knowledge to elevate himself in the eyes of another. My, that is a common thing to do, isn't it? To elevate yourself in the eyes of another, to lift yourself up in the eyes of another. Pride of knowledge will not motivate the prudent man. He will not try to top others' knowledge. Now, it's interesting that this is a common occurrence. You know, you could say into your group, and you say, "You know, I went to the moon last week." And somebody invariably will say, "That's nothing, I went to Mars." You know, when a person says, "I went to the moon," listen, that's not an ordinary thing to hear. But your obligation as a prudent person is not to try one-upsmanship and try to top another. Let them have their glory, listen and learn, and see if they in fact went to the moon. Perhaps it was a slight embellishment. But you don't try to do this in hopes of impressing others or putting others down. So many use words as if they are engaged in a contest. So many use words to vanquish others instead of edifying others. You know, we have an obligation to edify. Christ didn't come to put people down, to one-up people, to try to vanquish people. He came to edify. Is there value in winning arguments? You may win the argument, but do you win your opponent? You may feel fine about using superior words to make another feel inferior, and in the doing of it, you may perhaps insult their intelligence in the victory, but what does that do for the other? Speaking always considers those who are hearing your words. So a prudent man will not jump at the chance to look superior at the cost of humiliating others. Be careful, Christian. We're not here to humiliate others and climb upon the shoulders of others so that we can be seen. He will not use his knowledge to win arguments in order to feel good about himself. He knows that it is a vain use of the gift of knowledge and words that God has given him. You know, words are a gift from God, and those words are to be used to glorify God, and they're to be used judiciously, lest they bring reproof upon the Lord. But you know, Jesus Christ refused to speak before his enemies and judges because it would be in vain to men of closed minds and fixed hearts. Jesus Christ had times when he was silent. He could have astounded them. My, Jesus Christ could have astounded his hearers. They could have been shocked by what they were told by Jesus Christ. He could have astounded them with all knowledge of all subjects. He could have caused them to worship his knowledge. But that's not his intent. He even kept knowledge to himself in the treatment of his own disciples, because he knew they were not prepared to receive his treasures. You know, he's told us in Matthew 7:6, this certainly is not a politically correct verse, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs." You know, that word dogs has been used. Even the dogs get the crumbs off the table, the lady said, thinking of herself as the dogs, taking that position. But Jesus said, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine." My, that's not politically correct, calling people swine and calling them dogs, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. So Jesus Christ is saying, be careful on who you present truth to, lest you be hurt in the process. Be wise, be prudent. So here Jesus brings to the mind, in strong words, a time to conceal knowledge. You know, not all men are ready to examine God's pearls. You know, if you had jewelry in the house, and you won't go outside and show all your jewelry off. It's in a hidden place. And you show it to people that are ready to see it. And not all men, we're told, are ready to examine God's pearls, and to reveal his pearls to them will bring them to turn on the messenger and cause him harm. Now, Charles Spurgeon wrote the following about this command of Christ. When men are evidently unable to perceive the purity of a great truth, do not set it before them. They are like mere dogs. And if you set holy things before them, they will be provoked to turn again and rend you. holy things are not for the profane without our dogs. They must not be allowed to enter the holy place. When you are in the midst of the vicious, who are like swine, do not bring forth the precious mysteries of the faith, for they will despise them and trample them under their feet in the mire. You know, God's word is holy. God's word is pure. And we're not to give opportunity to those that hate God's word to trample them in the mire. You are not needlessly to provoke attack upon yourself or upon the higher truths of the gospel. You are not to judge, but you are not to act without judgment. Count not men to be dogs or swine, but when they avow themselves to be such, in other words, they reveal themselves to be such, we're to assume they're not, but when they reveal themselves to be such, or by their conduct act as if they were such, do not put occasions in their way for displaying their evil character. There's a principle of Scripture. We're not to give people opportunities to display their evil character. Saints are not to be simpletons. They are not to be judges, but also they are not to be fools. So there's a time to speak, and there is a time to be silent. Now the Apostle Peter tells us to always be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Okay? With meekness and fear. But notice the setting here. It is not in the setting of the dogs and the swine. A man asks you, what is the reason for your hope? The man is sincere. The man is wanting information. The man is wanting knowledge. There's no assumption here that the man is a swine. So you give them the ready answer for the reason of the hope that is in you, and you give it with meekness and fear, not arrogance. Oh, I'm going to heaven, as if I'm going there because of my own goodness. But I'm going to heaven because of God's goodness. And anything that I have of benefit to me is always because of God's goodness. We are not to engage in arguments and debates using the Word of God as a means to win contests and overcome others. Jesus compared his words to a pearl of great price, and as such, God expects us to see his truth as we would see a valuable, precious jewel. And when we see it as a jewel, we are to be wise in its display. Now, you ladies, if you have a valuable necklace or a valuable bracelet or a valuable ring, you're careful as to where you let that be displayed. And Jesus said, my word is a pearl of great price. And therefore, we are called upon to conceal knowledge from the scorner, because it will simply bring hate and shame to ourselves. We are not to speak in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. To the Christian, all is holy. All is separated unto God, and that includes the knowledge that God has given. Now, the knowledge that God has given is to dwell with prudence. Remember that proverb? Wisdom dwells with prudence. Wisdom, yes, you have wisdom, but prudence is along. It's kind of like wisdom is the man and prudence is the woman. I've preached on that and taught that. And I know that My wife whispers in my ear when I want to do something, and it's a cautionary message. Be careful about that. I know it's the right thing to do, but when you do it, be careful about that. And I lean and if I'm wise, I listen to prudence. So prudence dwells with knowledge, and its use is to be used for the glory of God, not for vain and self-edifying, elevating purposes. Now that is what the fool does. As the last part of our proverb tells us, the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. Now, look at where the foolishness comes from. It comes from the heart. That was written 3,000 years ago, but the Word of God is still true in our year. What would Solomon say if he came and watched the talk shows today? All the foolishness. What would he say if he listened to the radio shows? It's almost as if when he wrote this, he knew of what was to take place in our time, where foolishness is rampant. For today, the fools of America proclaim their foolishness. Now, the fool in our time can proclaim foolishness so that the whole world can hear and the world loves to hear. My, there's a lot of foolishness on the social media. A lot of foolishness. When you go on the social media, go with the idea that you're there to edify, to help, to teach, to glorify God. But the world loves foolishness. It seems like it can't get enough. Now, the Hebrew word translated for us as proclaim means the idea of accosting a person. It's almost as if a fool has to get it out. It means to call out by name. It means to preach, to pronounce, to publish. So the fool does not wait until he is asked. He accosts. He grabs hold of in order to get his foolishness pronounced. He desires notice. That is what he is after. He's there in the contest of life to gain notice. So he opens up his heart without prudence. He tries to teach when he ought to be the student. You know, you're very kind as a congregation, as a class. You listen. You realize you're here to learn. You have a position sitting there as a student. Now, from time to time, the student raises their hand and questions the teacher. But primarily, the teacher speaks and the student listens. Well, primarily the fool talks, and he talks when he ought to be the student. He instructs those who ought to be the instructor. So God in this proverb has given us another distinguishing mark in which to identify the fool, and that is the mark of always talking, but not talking of serious or important matters, but talk that is just foolishness, and that foolishness emanates from the heart. So we speak here of a prating fool. Now, prating means to talk too much about things that have no weight, or to talk too much on things of little purpose. It is the talk of always passing the time instead of redeeming the time. You know, to redeem the time means to pay for the time that God gives. God gives you time, and He expects a harvest of that time, and part of that harvest is the words you speak. You're not here for free. God is not giving you this free air or this air and the water to drink and all the resources of God, but he expects a return. And he says, redeem the time, pay for the time. And part of that payment is the words you speak to be helpful, to edify others, to help others with your speech. You know, you think about it, for what other reason are you kept here? To breathe God's air and to use up God's resources. God's a husbandman. And a husbandman who gets no return is a poor farmer, is he not? But God expects us to not just pass the time in worthless conversation, but we are to speak that which edifies, helps, and blesses. You know, you are involved in all kinds of conversations during the day. At night, when you lay your head down on the pillow, ask yourself, did my words redeem the time? Did my words pay for the time that God gave me today? Did I, with my words, edify? Did I, with my words, help or bless? That would be a good test for that day. But the fool passes the time in the extended talk of the trivial. Be careful of only being a person that speaks of the trivial. Because the fool that speaks always of the trivial, things just to pass the time instead of redeeming the time, is called the word loquacious, which means to run on and on and on and on about matters of little or no worth. You see what I'm talking about? I think all of us are guilty. But it is the kind of talk that receives nothing but the nodding of the head of the listener, who soon appears in a trance-like state. You know, give me a break. That's what your mind is saying. You're too kind. You're too kind to say, shut up. But you can communicate with your eyes in a trance-like state. For most times, the prating fool has few listening skills and is so engaged in his foolishness, he cannot even see or is interested in the reaction of the listener. You know, when you have a conversation, you ought to be interested in the reaction of the listener. If the listener is looking around and, you know, has their eyes somewhere else, walk away. They won't miss you. So the mark of the fool is one who is satisfied with himself and cannot learn because he is only hearing what he has to say, for what he says is generated in his heart, a heart that the Bible tells us is desperately wicked. No man can know it. You know, when you speak, it is simply that which you already know. So how can you learn anything if you don't listen? Listening is the more valuable commodity than speaking, is it not? That's why we're told to be swift to hear. God wants us to hear. But fools are occupied with shallowness and are satisfied only with the transmitting side of broadcasting. You know, it takes two to have a radio station. If you broadcast to the air and nobody's hearing, what good is it? But the fool only is involved in transmission. But in their quest to keep their mouth exercised, they forget that there is also a need to keep the ear exercised in listening, And if not exercised, the ears will soon lose their purpose. And proclaiming, remember this, proclaiming foolishness usually results in proud and boasting words, senseless words, hateful, provoking words that will definitely bring much trouble. God warns the fool in Proverbs 10:8, the wise in heart will receive commandments. That's hearing, isn't it? The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. Why? Because he didn't listen. Don't go near the edge of the road. Didn't listen. Falls over the cliff. The wise in heart is a listener, but the fool is too busy to listen to no one but is himself. But God's word says that fool shall fall. Aren't you glad that God tells us ahead of time about these things so that maybe we won't fall? If we listen, keep his commandments, understand the scriptures, hide it in our hearts so that when we do speak, we have things in our heart, treasures in our heart, rather than just things that we've accumulated through life and the passage of time. We have the treasures of the Word of God in our hearts. So I challenge you, at the end of the day, was I a blessing with my words? Did I edify with my words? Was I a help with my words? I think it would change your life. It would change your life. And it would help the others around you, wouldn't it? Father, we thank you so much for the many blessings of the Scripture, especially these Proverbs, which talks about how we're to use words, how judicious we are to be in our words. We're given words, Father, to be a blessing to others, to help others, to edify others, and you have given us that treasure that occupies our heart. And for a treasure to just lay dormant and not to be displayed at times is such a waste. But help us, Lord, to use the words that you've given us as a blessing to others. For we ask this in Jesus' holy and precious and matchless name. Amen.